The song Glenn and led prior to that about remind me, dear Lord, about basically being a human goes along very well with the lesson that I've prepared today. I've been thinking about this for at least 3 months now, and I pray that the study that I've done, the thoughts that I've been trying to pull together will help each one of us. A lot of this lesson is for the younger people, for people like my son and daughter, maybe your sons and daughters or grandkids, nieces and nephews, whoever it may be. Don't just put it there, put it personal too, because this certainly applies to people of all ages. The title's definitely a little bit weird, but it was something I had talked to Abe about. He and I meet usually every couple weeks for lunch somewhere around Xenia, and we talk about some of the work that we're doing here. We just talk about what we're up to personally, and I told him, I said, I have an idea for a lesson, and I presented this title, and he thought for a second, and finally understood where I was coming from. So let's get into it. My blank Antichrist. A lot of times when you go into a book or a paper, you want to know somebody's title, you put their title down and then you follow that up, or put their name down and then you follow it up with a title. So maybe if I said Roger Starnes, my title at work has been for the last 3 jobs I've had digital media specialist, which sounds powerful, but it just means I take care of everything that's online and video and things like that. So kind of think about this as a title for somebody. So who is Antichrist? And I want you to, again, I'm going to mention this in text here on one of the slides. But I want you to kind of pull away from what you maybe thought about Antichrist, the scriptures that talk about Antichrist, and I want to try to mix things up a little bit to help us maybe personalize this, because this isn't something that we don't come across in scripture too often when we're in study. However, we've come across it a few times. Mark even mentioned it this morning when in class talking about Antichrist. To follow along, if you will, if you take notes, I encourage that, but if you happen to miss something, I try to put all of the slides for all the speakers that we have on our website, so you can always go there too. We're going to look, first of all, at some passages that talk about Antichrist. Most of these, if not all of them, are from 1 John or 2 John. 1 John 2:18 through 19, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. And I appreciate Mark doing that. I got in this morning and told Nick right off the bat, I said, boy, my contrast on that background is tough to see. So hopefully you can see that good. And if you don't see me, that's fine. I'm just a voice speaking in the dark. So the first thing we see is Antichrist. I think that at least my Bible, you see a couple different ways Antichrist is mentioned. It's Antichrists, plural, with a lowercase a, and in this case a capital A. But the side notes in my Bible say that's not necessarily, Bible scholars have looked at that, and it may not necessarily be a capital, a single individual. So kind of keep that in mind as we go through here. Again, just bringing thoughts for you to try to take and study on your own. Next passage, John, 1 John 2:22 through 25. Who is a liar, but he denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, eternal life. Some of these passages go a little bit deeper than the main focus that I want to follow along, but the things I've tried to underline are the characteristics of Antichrist or the Antichrist that I want to show to you today. As we back up there to the other one, Antichrist is, they've come, they're planning to become, they've already come out from us, they were not of the disciples, and the one that we got there, a definition of the Antichrist is one who denies Father and Son, says they don't even exist. There's nothing to serve them. And again, the important part in part for us is hearing the Word of God, and from the beginning we pay attention to those things. Continuing on, 1 John 2:26 through 27, these things I have written to you, so this has already been talked about, concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Again, these are very important scriptures to go back and look at, because some of the text here is a little bit difficult to swallow quickly. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of, again, who are we talking about? Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Again, I want to keep pointing these things out. John's saying that we were talking about this guy, this person, these people coming prior to this point. They've already come. They're here with us. And I think you'll see that even today they continue. 2 John 7 through 8. Many deceivers, again, what is an antichrist? A deceiver has gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things that we have worked for, that we may receive a full reward. Again, as a Christian, no matter how long you have been a Christian, the practice of being a Christian is something that we are trying to do in order to qualify to be a child of God and to receive that reward. And John's saying here, you don't want to lose these things that you've worked for. What do you got to watch out for? Well, you have to back up and say that you got to watch out for these deceivers because they're going to be a problem for you. So Antichrist, what is it? I know Brad and Rob are probably going to come after me. I tried my best to get some good way to pronounce this. That is the Koine Greek spelling of Antichrist as it comes from the New Testament prior to its English translation. Vitidistos is the closest thing that I can get to. I must have pressed the Google Translate speak button about 100 times to try to make sure I get that close, so you can look it up for yourselves. Antichristos is the transliterated version of what this is. What does it mean? False Messiah, leader, or, I like this one, instead anointed. So an antichrist could be an instead anointed, someone that portrays that role. Or another definition is in place of. It's a substitute for Christ, as we'll see. Anti, what does that mean? I like always to do my word cell studies back from probably 8th or 9th grade. I've talked about that most of my lessons. I still love them, even though I'm terrible at them. What does anti mean? Anti means opposed to or against. When you talk about anti-Christ, you're saying, okay, first of all, anti is opposed to or against, and then Christ is the anointed one. So these are the people that we're dealing with. The Bible talks about, as I mentioned, capital antichrists, as at least in the New King James translation, or antichrist, plural, as real persons or a real person. The antichrist, as described by John in his latter books, appears to be a real person. And again, I'm talking about the capital one here, with real power and real influence, not just someone that's a deceiver, but the deceiver, the most important one. And as you will probably study, and you've maybe studied in the past, some suggest this person was and is a real leader of a false religion who, without authority, took on the role of God on earth and led many away from the truth. I'll just leave that there. The Antichrist appeared to be human. Again, this is the plural. Humans who steal the role of God away from believers by deception and misleading. Again, for those that just walked in, pay attention to the underlying words that I've got in either Scripture or some of my thoughts I've got here for today as we talk about Antichrist. These have been before and are still with us today. So here's my goal. Today is to shake up your minds, as I mentioned earlier, to reconsider just who is Antichrist. You know, sometimes from class we think about Antichrist as this person we'll probably never come in contact with, we'll never see, really has nothing, no bearing on our lives. But I will say that that is not true. I think all of us have an Antichrist in our life, maybe many of them, and especially you young people, some of you have the most potent Antichrist in your lives. These are people all around us, even closest to us. So again, my lesson title, fill in the blank. My blank Antichrist. Well, who could that be? Well, here's some things that are going to list on there. My coworker, Antichrist. Is your coworker a deceiver? Or are they taking God away from your life? My boss, Antichrist. Sometimes bosses can, maybe they employ you, but their righteousness is completely lacking. My friend, Antichrist. Sometimes Christians have very close friends that do not know God, do not know the church, and really have no desire to. They can deceive you by their behavior away from Christ. A classmate, neighbor. So these are people that are peripherally related to us, but let's make it a little bit more personal. What about a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, grandmother or grandfather? That's the people kind of around us, but then what about our close-knit family? Our brother, sister, our mom or dad, a wife or husband or a son or daughter? My grandfather, Antichrist. My sister, Antichrist. My aunt, Antichrist. That really makes you think a little bit more carefully. And even though that sounds really bad, I think if we look around some of the people in our lives, these things will be true. Antichrist is a deceiver. The British Dictionary defines for a deceiver or someone who's deceiving as a verb, to mislead by deliberate misrepresentation or lies. One of the things about deception is not just blatantly doing something that somebody says, oh, I had no idea. It's usually doing something, talking to somebody in such a way that you lead them astray gently. I tell you about, hey, I got this. I'm a shady car salesman, and I was like, man, I got this nice car here, man. Oh, beautiful. You'll love it. I'll tell you everything I need to make you feel emotionally attached to that vehicle. I want you to imagine yourself in it. I want you to make you feel, wow, I can really make an impression with my neighbors, or it's very comfortable, it's very fast. Knowing, as a bad salesman, that this car's got problems. I want to deceive you from all the bad and tell you about all the good there. And that's what deceivers do. They don't just tell you something that is totally contrary to your beliefs. They tell you about things that are contrary to your beliefs in a very tickling your ear away. They want it to smell good. They want it to taste good. They want your mind to say, yeah, that sounds like it's got potential. They don't just do it to throw you off. So what image illustrates a good deceiver? I tried to find some good images on here. I thought this one was probably the best. If I asked everybody to raise their hand and say, who hates Canada geese, or Canadian geese, as we often say, I think most of you would raise your hand and maybe two hands, because they are just destroyers of all public places and foreign fields and everything. So put that aside, though. Think about a deceiver. That man is a goose hunter in this case. A duck hunter is what I was trying to find. And this is a new way that a lot of people that hunt waterfowl are doing that. They get these boxes, and they bury these boxes in the ground. They weigh them down so they can stand inside of them. And I've seen pictures. I was going to get one of those for you. But basically, those guys get down, and all that sticks out is their head, shoulders, and a gun. So they can get down as low as possible, trying to deceive those birds that might be flying over, saying, hey, there's a bunch of our friends. Let's go down there and see them. He's a deceiver. And for those that don't know how to hunt waterfowl, the purpose of having fake geese or fake ducks floating around is for that purpose. You cannot shoot a duck that's in the water. You can shoot a duck that's on its way, I can't remember if it's on its way down or taking off. The goal is to try to shoot it on its way down. So they put all of these floating plastic geese and ducks outside so that they can get these flocks coming in and shoot them. And if you see the pictures that I also found after that, there's just sometimes these guys, there's 10 or 12 of them out there with 100 different geese or ducks out there. I don't like much wild game anyway, so this doesn't really apply to me. But just again, that idea of a deceiver, think about this. That looks like a great idea. Well, it could be the death of you. The deceiver's noted in Scripture. I've got some big passages here, so just either try to ignore it or just listen or write them down. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-7. Let no one deceive you by any means. So if we stopped right there, that should be one of the best lessons for us as Christians today. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Again, this goes back to the person I think that John was referencing as the capital A Antichrist. Again, study this on your own. Do you not remember that I was still with you, that I told you these things? So again, in this case, Paul is saying, hey, I'm telling you this guy's coming. Be ready for him. Now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Continuing on, verses 8 through 12. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. This person is definitely going to have a bad end, but for now, they're out there. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. So is it according to them? No, it's according to the working of Satan. With all powers, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception, among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Right there is the problem. That's where the deception can creep in. That they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. This kind of touches on one of the things we talked about in the adult class today. What made Judas do the things that he did? Did God make him do this, or did he do this because he was kind of leaning that direction already? I think that's what you see here. Again, deceivers noted in Scripture. Matthew 24:5 says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." You've got to make sure who you're paying attention to. Matthew 18:6-7, "Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to millstone were hung about his neck, and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come." This morning in the adult class, we were talking about how Jesus talked to his disciples as little children. And a lot of times we see this passage and we think about our little kids, these little babies and these little toddlers that run around. It's like, oh, that's so cute. Well, that's not necessarily who he's talking about. These little ones are people that have a young impression of what the gospel tells them, have young instructions, and we all are constantly trying to build up to that. Matthew 10, 34 through 38. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. We've talked about this recently. Again, one of the points that I want to make in this my blank Antichrist is seeing that people that enter our lives seem to be good people are actually the ones that are trying to pull God out of our lives. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Remember that list I had on there. Oh, we've got our friends, our bosses, our neighbors. We've got our cousins. We've got our aunts and uncles. Then we've got our moms and dads, brothers and sisters, wife, husband. This is what this is talking about. Maybe the enemies could be in our own house. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. So right there is the stopper. Deception comes when we have a little bit too much love for those around us, not enough for God. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross to follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 13:22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, talking about my blank Antichrist. Are the people that's around us in the world or tending to their needs or my job, are those things keeping me so busy that I'm losing my focus on God and the church? Because that says that's exactly what happens in this case. James 4, 3 through 5. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Are you asking God in your prayers, hey, God, please, let me have this. And all you're thinking about is, man, this thing would be really nice to have. God, please let me have that boat. I want to ski so badly. What does that serve God? What does that serve the kingdom? It's good that we have pleasures, but that should not be our priorities. And it transitions, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I don't think this is necessarily jumping right into the fact that people are committing sexual fornication or sin here, but it's the fact that as the Bible talks about the marriage relationship of the church to Christ, when we start backing away from Christ and going out to the world, we become adulterers and adulteresses. Not to take that out of context there, but just kind of think about that. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't let this world box you in, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Colossians 2:8-9, beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceit. Talk about a perfect passage for young people going to school or young people getting started in the business world. People will try to cheat you through this, people know exactly what you need to do with your life. Listen to these philosophers, listen to this practical application in these business schools, and then they try through deceit to tell you the best way to do things. And how do they do that? As underlined there, according to the traditions, not of God, of men, according to the basic principles of God, no, of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, not the world, but Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 John 5:19. For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. John's saying, hey, I've looked around. I've been part of this kingdom on earth that Christ set up, and I'm part of God. And he's writing to us today, the people then and the us today, saying, are you of God too? Because you should be. You know what's going on. The whole world is this teetering back and forth of the effect of Satan, about the role that he plays in his temptations. 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, we see this all through Scripture. You've got God on one side or you've got the world on the other. You cannot have both. They cannot intermingle. Otherwise, they're polluted. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, every time I go away for vacation and I'm able to meet with the saints in another location, I enjoy meeting with them. I like the new personalities. But I will say, and I give this to the credit of this congregation, the focus that we have here that I experience every time that we're together is a focus of trying to understand who God is, understand what He wants from us, and that we are doing those things. I visit other places, even though they may seem like they're very devout, they're trying to do things right, sometimes they get tied up into doing things and not trying to study God's Word, not trying to do the will of God. I just mention this because of what this passage says. Test the spirits. How do we test the spirits? We like the Bereans. We study the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. I think we do that. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The world may not understand that. We do. Do not be deceived. So what's the list of people that are going to have problems? Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the important part that we sometimes forget too. And such were some of you. There's people that were in the church at that time. There's people in the church today that had some bad history, baggage as we call it, that were not acceptable to God. They've made that transition in their lives. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and then you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. 15:33-34, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. One of our biggest problems in life, again, talking about that friendship that we have, is having people that are important to us that have nothing to do with God. Their influence is going to be very strong. They will not want to be part of the church, and they will not want us to lead them that way. If we pay too much attention to them, they could lead us off. Galatians 6:2-4, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What do? But let each one examine his own work, and then we will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Again, all through Scripture, especially towards the latter part of the New Testament, very important that we see that we, following God's instructions, are what qualifies us to be a Christian, what qualifies to be part of the church. So what are the rules that we should be following? These are just my rules. I think some of these are things that we talk about regularly. I think the passages here I'm not going to go into, but I think it is worth noting. The rules, how do we look at a person that we think might be good, but actually could be an antichrist? How do we evaluate their standing? And how do we evaluate our own? So what rules are they following? Are they hearing? Are they believing? And are they being baptized? You can see that in Acts 2, Acts 8, and Acts 10. Are they or are we serving the kingdom? Romans 10:10-11 talks about that. Are we leading? And I got an ING on every one of these. I was going to do a play on that, but just kind of think about that. Are we leading properly? 1 Timothy 2:2 talks about leading. Are we teaching? Colossians 3:16. Sharing? Hebrews 13:16. Are we building? Jude 1:20. Are we praying? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. There's a lot of other passages on each one of these, but I thought these were especially noteworthy. Are we learning? Titus 3:14. Finally, are we speaking? Ephesians 4:23. And I put that one on there because sometimes we expect people to take the podium. I am not a good person all the time. I try hard, but I have the ability to work on lessons and present them to you, hopefully in a way that's beneficial to you. Gabe certainly does a good job with that. Others that are teachers and classes, teachers out here, speakers, all have that ability. But that is not just for 5 or 6 people of the congregation. We all need to be speaking. We need to be telling people. I think the Bible's pretty clear. The successful Christian is the person that wakes up in the morning and starts talking about God and does it until the time they go to bed. Specifically in that case, it's talking about to your children as a father in that case. But I think it's true for everything else. So as we wrap things up, who is Antichrist? So who in your life is the Antichrist? Is it coworker, boss, a friend, classmate, a neighbor? Is it your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, grandmother or grandfather, brother or sister? Is it your mom or dad, wife, husband, son or daughter? And this question, how do they affect your relationship to God? Are they kind of doing what God wants and not doing the rest and saying, hey, that's what you need to do. You do that. Especially, I can't stress this enough, people that are older than you, that you look up to, and really take you off course. Because they will say, hey, your dad keeps saying go to church all the time and you need to study your Bible. That's just ridiculous. Just try to be a good person. That's all you need to do. And so that believing person's like, yeah, person, aunt, uncle, grandma, I adore you so much. You're right. My father's wrong or my mom and dad's wrong. And so I'm going to do what you say. That's the new way. That's not the right way. That concludes this first lesson, but to try to keep those that might be able to stick around, the next lesson today is going to be the most dangerous person in your life to lead you astray. And I will say that it is greater than all these. My blank Antichrist, and we'll wrap that up as we get into the next lesson. This morning, I pray that the thoughts have triggered some things, and maybe they have caused you to think about the relationships that you have with those around you, even those closest to you, and you can start mentally going through and saying, yeah, they do make me kind of do some things that I shouldn't be doing. Flip that around. Now you are that impressionable person, and they are the young person, or they are the impression E, I guess you could say. How is your life? Are you living a life in such a way that says, nope, I am not doing this unless God said it. I am not going to do anything outside that. And what He told me to do, I am doing as much as I can. They look at you and say, wow, that Roger, he's a great example to me. He encourages me. I want to be a Christian. So you look at me and say, I don't know. I don't really see too much in him. I'm just not even going to mess with it. That's why we're here. If we're not growing, we're dying. I mean, you hear that all the time. And that's what I don't want to happen to me. That's what I don't want to happen to anyone in this congregation. Physically, our bodies are going to age. But spiritually, what God has given us will never go away and will only get stronger with work. Please open your songbooks if you have any needs this morning. Please let those be known in, or in baptism as we stand and sing.